The following audio is from Lifehouse Church. We hope you are blessed by this message and encourage you to connect with us on social media or at lifehousechurch.org.
Yeah, hang on just a second. I'm walking out on the stage, Lifehouse. I feel like I'm losing you. Honestly, I've never been on the phone up here before, so I think I have a bad spot. So I think I'm losing you. Hang on, let me walk over here, see if this is better. No, it's cracking. Hang on, over here. Sorry, just give me a second here. I think I lost them. Sorry about that. You've all had that happen, right? Right, you've had like where you've been in a spot. No, you haven't walked down the stage on the phone before, but you've had it where you've been on the phone and you lost connection. And here's the thing, right? Here's the funny thing about phone connections is you can't create connection. The only thing you can do is be in a place where you stay connected. The only thing you can do is be in a place where you're connected, where the connection can happen. And that's a really interesting thing about life, is you can't really make connections happen. You can just be in a place where you're connected. And we are vastly too connected, aren't we? As we get started in 2024, we are way too connected to our phones, to all of our devices, to texting, to emails, to DMs, to all kinds of different messaging, way too connected to social media, to entertainment, to people that we don't even want to interact with. I recently made the really horrible mistake of giving my cell number to an insurance website where they try to help you find, like get you a quote. And I literally started getting texts and calls from like 30 different companies. And I didn't even know what to do. I almost threw my phone in a frozen lake. I was so frustrated. I was like, stop it. How do I get my phone off of that list? I didn't, like it was an accident. It was like a bad moment. Like, I repented of that moment. What was I thinking of giving them my cell number? I was desperate because I wanted to change insurance companies and I just made a bad decision here. And right, we're way too connected. And when you're way too connected to work and people you don't want to be connected with and email and devices, you start to get busy, don't you? You get distracted, you get preoccupied, you get consumed. And when you're consumed and busy, you're hurried. And when you're hurried, you'll not become the person in private you most want to become, that you need to become. Hurry is the enemy of becoming who you most want to and need to become. And this is also a really vulnerable place, right? Because when we're hurried and we're busy and we're overly connected, we get tired, and I don't just mean like tired. I mean like the kind of tired that after you wake up in the morning from a long night's sleep, you still feel tired. That's called weary. When you're weary, you get empty. And when you get empty, you're vulnerable because you get yourself in trouble, right? Because when you're empty, you go looking for things to fill you, and you ask them to do the impossible. This is where vices and addictions and bad lifestyle behaviors kick in, because we start to ask, right, what's an addiction? It's asking something that meets a desire to fill our soul, right? You're asking it to satisfy in a place that it can never satisfy. And so you need more of it. And you spend more time doing it, and you need more activity. And you fill. But what it does is it keeps spilling out. And so it's never enough. And so we consume our lives with something that will invariably destroy us because we're empty. Because we're too connected. And the problem with being overly connected is that we start to get disconnected from what really matters, right? If I'm on my phone or device or whatever it is at home, I might be connected, but I'm connected to something less than what's best, right? Because if I'm connected here, I'm disconnected from my family, those I love. We're disconnected from the God who loves us, from the moments and people that matter most. And so, you ever had this moment where you were talking with a loved one who you knew was approaching death? This is tough, isn't it? Because I mean, some of you, like, this is very real, it's very painful for you. But you knew they were dying, and you got a chance to spend some time with them. And I don't know if you remember that moment or if you can think about that moment, but imagine they invite you close. They want to say something to you. First of all, nothing else matters. No phone calls, no work, no email. I don't care how urgent it is, it all gets put aside because this moment, this connection matters. And then what they begin to say, you never forget it, do you? You can quote it. Laura and I, we have certain moments with loved ones, some moments that like make us laugh to this day, just like really precious, fun moments or value, I mean, moments that are irreplaceable. So grateful that we were connected to the person and not preoccupied with other things. Now imagine the person that's about to die was Jesus. Oh, I got your attention, right? This is Jesus. He is approaching his death. He knows he's gonna die. He invites his closest friends, his disciples, to an upper room to spend a meal together, their last meal. While they're there, Jesus washes their feet, teaching them that he didn't come to be served, but to serve, to be a servant. And then he celebrates what we call communion. He leads them in a communion meal, acknowledging that he's about to die. Ah, here it is. So he's approaching his death, and he's telling them, I'm going to die. In the middle of that meal, one of the friends, Judas, gets up and leaves because he's going to go betray Jesus. And Jesus knows it, says it, and announces it. And so now there's confusion in the room. Wait, one of us is going to betray Jesus? And then Jesus continues to lead them in the communion moment. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood spilled in order to establish a new relationship between us and God. And then Jesus begins to teach them his last words before he dies. Some scholars would call this the farewell discourse, the farewell teaching. And as he teaches, at some point, Jesus decides that they're gonna get up and they're gonna leave this place where they've been eating. And they go for a walk and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus has frequently gone for prayer moments. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is gonna pray. And he's gonna labor, and there's gonna be so much pain inside of him that the way it's described is that he begins to sweat as if it were great drops of blood. And that's the garden. But on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, they pass a vineyard. And it's likely that as they pass the vineyard, Jesus pauses, begins to teach. Because they're distressed. Their teacher, their rabbi, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, is about to die. And what do you do when you fear that you're gonna lose connection with the person you love most? The God of the universe became a man, and now he's telling you he's gonna die, he's gonna leave. And so there's distress, there's growing fear, anxiety. And so Jesus leans in this moment. And it's captured in the Gospel of John. It's an eyewitness account. John records Jesus' words where Jesus, you could almost see Jesus like walking by a vineyard, walking up close to it and kind of maybe pointing it, maybe grabbing the vine, the branches. He goes, I am the true vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And then he goes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Wow. So real quick, put a picture up here of what this looks like. What would it look like for a tended vine? I planted a vine in my backyard and I built a little I wanted my patio to look cool in the back. It's maybe a little bit like Italy. And so I have a little grapevine growing up, a big post that I stuck in the ground. I put those little backyard lights on it. And now I have got the vine growing up along it. But it's not like a tended vine. We got grapes finally this past year, a whole bunch of them. But this is different. This is like a tended vine. And in a vineyard, it would be like the vine itself would be about 36 to 42 inches high. And then the branches grow off from that. The point, what you see is this. What is Jesus? He goes, I am the vine, you're the branches. Like there is this intimate connection between the vine and the branches. You can't tell where one ends and the other begins. There's this life sap flowing from the roots to the vine to the branches. There's this deep connection. And what's Jesus driving at in this moment? He goes, you're afraid you're gonna lose connection with me. The world around you is in chaos and trouble. You know what you need? You need to stay connected to me. You need to be still. And to be still, here's what we have to know. Focus on being, not doing. As we get started in 2024, can I give you a challenge? Focus on being, not doing. If you're anything like me, you're a little bit busy, you're a little bit active, and you wanna do, and that's what New Year's resolutions are, is what's the new thing you're gonna do that will make you better, and so you're gonna do better to be better, you're gonna do more to be more, you're gonna try to change something. Maybe you have New Year's resolutions that you made a long time ago that you're actually gonna do this year. And what else do? We do church, we do devotions, we do, and when we get busy doing, we miss out on being. Because doing is this frenetic activity of endless connection. And as a result, we're disconnected from what matters most. And when we're disconnected from what matters most, we're connected to what's less. And it often is we're asking something to fill us in a way that it never could. And so we abuse and we misuse the things that we try to use to fill us. Did you catch that? We abuse and misuse the things that we use to fill us and satisfy our soul. And as a result, it destroys us. That's right. This is what Jesus, other biblical authors call sin. Sin is a spiritual disconnection from God. And when we're spiritually disconnected from God, we begin to do things that we try to use to fill us, and it just leads to more, not only disconnection, but disconnection from others, and it leads to a forever disconnected from God in eternal judgment. The consequence of sin is not just separation from God, but an eternal punishment. But God, so now we lean into this moment where Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. You're the branches. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. What is he getting at? Well, he's about to die. Why is he gonna die? To pay the price, to pay the penalty for our disconnection. Because we were cut off from God because of sin, Jesus had to take on the shame and the guilt, the sin of our lives. And so he doesn't just point to a vineyard. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane where he says, Father, if there's any other way, would you take this cup from me? But not my will, your will be done. The cup of what? The cup of judgment of God against all sin. What was Jesus about to do? He was about to go to the cross where he was gonna begin to drink the cup of our judgment. And after he finishes drinking the last drop, he cries out, it is finished. I've absorbed it. And he dies in our place. But you know, the story doesn't end with just Jesus' death on the cross. He's buried in the ground. And a few days later, he rises from the dead, victorious, triumphant, the resurrected king, the Messiah, the chosen one. And because he lives, we live. So when we believe in Jesus by faith, we are forgiven, right? He died in our place and given new and forever life. Now, here's something that's important, right? When you believe in Jesus by faith, you are grafted into the vine. There, a connection happens. You begin to grow in Christ. And so let me just pause and say, where are you at right now? Where have you been busy and disconnected? Maybe using and abusing, misusing things, addictions, vices, even people to fill your soul in a way that it never could. And right now, what you recognize that you need is a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Can I encourage you? This is your moment to say, yes, to Jesus, to begin a new relationship with God, to be grafted in, to be united in relationship with God, where now the branch of your life gets grafted or connected to the vine of Jesus. And if that's where you're at, can I encourage you? Would you begin that this year? Begin a new relationship with God through faith in Jesus. You can let us know that you're making that commitment. Scan the QR code. It's going to be up on the screen here, I think. There you go. Scan the QR code. There'll be a link for those of you that are joining us online. You can click that. Pastor Spencer, he's going to follow up with you and encourage you as you begin this new journey in relationship with God. And here's what I want you to know. You're being grafted in and you're being connected to the vine. Now, here's the thing. When you're connected to the vine, new life begins to flow into you. And if you go back to Jesus' teaching, right? Okay, so now I'm going to bring you back in. They're in the upper room. Jesus washes their feet. He says, as I've done to you, I want you to do to others. Meaning, even though I'm God in human form, I serve you. I want you to serve others. They're upset now. He's talking about his death. Judas is, you know, they're whether they recognize it or not, what Judas is doing, Jesus said that someone is going to betray him. So they have all of this going through their mind. And when you get to John chapter 13, so we're going back a little bit here, verse 33, Jesus says, dear children, my children. Why? Because at this moment, they're feeling small and weak. They're feeling scared. The very next verse, he goes, I have loved you. Why? Because they, right, in this moment, they're starting to feel worried and stressed. Like, does Jesus care? I mean, if he's leaving, if he's going to get killed, I mean, what's going on here? I love you. I have loved you. And then a few verses later, he goes, in this world, he goes, don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because they're feeling troubled. The news around them is worrying them. They're getting distressed. They're getting upset. He goes, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then if you jump ahead just a few more verses, verse 18 of chapter 14, he goes, I will not leave you as orphans. Why? Because they're feeling abandoned in this moment. They're starting to feel like worried and stressed that they're going to get left alone. He goes, I will not leave you. I have not left you as orphans. I'm with you. And then on the heels of that, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me and I also remain in you. That word remain is translated. It could be translated a few different ways. Another way you could translate it is abide or live in, be fully present in. But the picture he gives is of a vine and a branch. The connection, that's what he means. He goes, remain, live in, be connected, abide. It has to remind you, and it certainly would have reminded his disciples of a song, a hymn that they would have sung. It's found in Psalm 91 of our Bibles, the Old Testament, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, where it reads this way, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. Right? They would have known that song. So as Jesus is talking about remain in me and I in you, they might have even been thinking back to Psalm 91, where the psalmist is writing about this hide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that picture is of? It's not just coming under a shadow. Most people don't want to be under a shadow. No, it's of a mother hen bringing its chicks under it. He goes, those who hide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's going on here? You have a mother hen who brings the chicks under her warmth, under her protection, under her covering. And there's this invitation to come close to God, who is your protector, who is your provider, who cares for you. And he's saying, get close to me. Come under my shadow. Be near me. And you'll find warmth and safety and protection. And then he says, for those that find refuge and safety in me. So I'll show you a picture real quick of Masada. I had the privilege of going to Israel. Laura and I had the privilege of going with a group of pastors. Unbelievable. And Masada overlooks the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. And so it's below sea level. And so you hike up from there up to the top of the mountain where this fortress, Masada, is or was And now they have the ruins. But here's the thing. Like, this would be the picture of what it means to have God as your fortress, your hiding place, your refuge, right? Like, I mean, you go up there and nothing else is going on, right? You get up on that, like, you're safe from attack. You're safe from invasion. The point is God the place where you go? Is the connection with Jesus the place where you go to find shelter, to find safety? And then, of course, you jump over to the metaphor of Jesus in this vineyard saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Are you connected to me? Are you coming under my shadow, under my protection? Are you hiding in me as your refuge? Are you connected to me as the sap of your life? Let me read it again. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Remain in me as I also remain in you. As I abide, as I live with and in you. What's the key here? It's really about friendship. Friendship with God develops from focusing on being, not doing. Listen to me. I want to read that again. I want to make sure that catches your attention. You're all gathered here. It's brand new. We're just getting started in 2024. What do I want to challenge you with? To be still and be present with and in God. And friendship with God develops when you begin to focus on being, not doing. I mean, you are here not doing church, but being the church. So let me break down this verse for you a little bit. He says, I am the true vine. Like I said, a cultivated vine, grapevine, maybe 36 to 42 inches high, that all of the branches grow from. And so what's interesting, though, about this particular passage is that all of his disciples that were hearing this, you know what they would have been thinking about? Not so much a vine or grapes or a vineyard like you and I would, because that's what we think of. They're thinking of, it would kind of be like one of us if we were using a bald eagle as an illustration. When you hear bald eagle, you don't think of a bald eagle. You think of America. That's what they're thinking of. Because the symbol of Israel was the vine. All throughout the Hebrew Bible, throughout the Old Testament, the picture of Israel is a vine. And so Jesus is making an important point, because you're born into Israel. You're born Jewish. Well, you can be born Jewish, right? Like, you grow up with a Jewish heritage. And Jesus is driving at a point. He goes, it's not that you're born into a connection with God. You don't inherit a heritage of faith in me. You've got to get connected to me. Meaning, it's not the vine of Israel that gives you faith. I mean, you weren't born into Christianity. You didn't inherit your faith in Jesus. You've got to cultivate it for yourself. You've got to be connected to Jesus on your own. Jesus saying, I am the vine. You got to be connected to me. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what religion you were born in. It doesn't matter what your background was. There are no grandchildren in the family of God. Everybody's got to be born of God, born through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he goes, and the Father is the gardener. This is so good. He goes, my Father is doing all the work. The gardener does the work of tending to the vineyard. He's going, my Father's doing all the work. He's active. He's doing. So what do the branches do? They don't do anything. They just stay connected. You know what that sounds a lot like? Friendship. That's right. What Jesus is talking about is the most important relationship, the most important friendship you'll ever experience. And friendship doesn't begin with doing. You know what it begins with? A person. That's right. It begins with a person. You meet someone and you become friends. Now, you do things together and that cultivates friendship, but it's not about doing anything. It's about a person. And that's the key here. Does your relationship with God come down to a person? Just a few verses later, Jesus says it this way in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. He's talking about love. Now, I think a lot of you believe that God loves you. Do you believe that God likes you? Hold on, pause for a moment. Think about it. Do I believe that God actually likes me? Jesus seems to indicate that God wants to spend time with us. God wants to be intimately connected with us. He wants to be in deep relationship with us. That means God kind of likes you. He likes hanging out with you. He wants to spend deep relationship with you. So you got to change your heart and your attitude toward God. Some of you have this fear relationship with God where you kind of do what you have to do, but you don't know that he really deeply loves you, and more than loves you, he actually likes you. But when you begin to believe that God likes you, you begin to cultivate a connection in relationship. How do you do that? How do you be that? Well, let me read one verse again, verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, right? You can't cut a branch off a tree and then expect it to produce acorns or apples. No, it's got to be connected to the trunk, right? A branch of a vineyard doesn't produce grapes unless it's connected to the vine. I'm stating the obvious, right? Jesus is too. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So there's this, he's talking about a deep connection that produces fruit. And the key is this: friendship with God is the fuel of life. What's fueling your life? Are you feeling drained? He's talking about a life connection that becomes your sustenance. If you look at that picture between the vine and the branches coming off that then produces fruit, right? There is a fuel that's going from the ground up through the vine into the branches. Is there a fuel of life flowing from relationship with God in you that flows through you, that produces everything about your life, that's sustaining you, that's giving you strength? Now, that might be a lofty bar, right? Like, can we all be like, yeah, sometimes. But then a lot of times I go try to tap into other things. And so this challenge as we get into 2024 is that, am I focused on being, not doing? Am I focused on friendship with God? And that friendship is the fuel for my life. Well, how do I cultivate that? Here's the thing. You can do a lot of things. Certainly, cultivating a connection with God is going to include prayer. It's going to include participating in the life of the church. It's going to include reading the Bible. It'll include worship. But do you want to hear something? And this is what's really stirring in my heart. You can go to church. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can even sing songs in worship and not abide. Some of you have been doing a lot of Christian things, but are missing out on the joy of experiencing the sap of the friendship of God flowing into your life. And as a result, your Christian faith feels like a burden and a chore. It was never meant to feel that way. If your faith feels like a chore, then I want to challenge you to shift your focus from doing to being. Being present with God. Stop trying to do prayer. Here's what I mean. I hear a lot of people say, did you do your devotions? What they mean is, did you spend time at some point today reading the Bible, letting the Bible speak to you? Did you spend time in prayer? Did you spend some time with God? But here's the thing, often we do devotions rather than giving God devoted time. What we really need to do is shift our thinking from doing devotions to giving God devoted time. When you're in a friendship, what do? You have devoted time together. And then who cares what you do, right? The doing isn't the point. It's about being together. And so for you and I, if you really want to cultivate connection with God, you have to focus on the being present with God. And it really doesn't matter what you do. Of course, you're going to pray because you're going to talk to God. Of course, you're going to spend time in his word. Why? Because when you spend time in God's word, you're letting His word, the Bible, speak to you. But you know what I want to do more than just read the Bible? I want to learn to love what God is saying. I want to learn to appreciate God speaking to me from his word. I value God's word and his words. I want to cultivate connection by letting the word of God speak into my life. I want to spend time in prayer, in worship, celebrating God, offering adoration to God, saying, God, you're amazing. I want to spend time in fasting, giving up the desires of this life to cultivate and discover what it means to desire God the way I desire coffee or chocolate or my next meal. That's why we go into seasons of fasting and prayer, which we have that starts this evening. We're kicking off 21 days of fasting and prayer. We'd love for you to participate with us. Let me bring you to a kind of a closing thought. There was a 17th century monk who was a cook in his monastery. In fact, that's what he was known for. But he's also known for some of his writings. His name was Brother Lawrence. Basically, a compilation of his writings was put together, and it's called Practicing the Presence of God. And in it, Brother Lawrence writes this. He's a cook. That's his job. That's what he does. But that's not who he is. I do nothing else but abide in his holy presence. And I do this by simple attentiveness and habitual, loving turning of my eyes on him. This I call a wordless and secret conversation between the soul and God, which no longer ends. Can I just say, wow, I want that. I think you and I, if we hung out with Brother Lawrence, we probably would envy what he had. A guy who was busy cooking, but he wasn't really cooking. He was in relationship with God. You could be busy changing a diaper or a transmission or working on a spreadsheet or trying to make the numbers work and be abiding with God. An attentiveness to relationship that doesn't have to end. You can come in and out of prayer conversation, but not have to come in and out of connection with God. Can I invite you and challenge you? Where can you focus on being over doing? Focus on friendship, which is a fuel for your life. Repent, lay down, step away from all the other stuff you've been trying to use to fuel your life, because it's not gonna work. It'll leave you frustrated, angry, hurt, and trapped. Let God be the fuel of your life. And so what I want to do is, I want to read this passage to you one more time. Can I do that? Close your eyes for a moment. Just listen. What I want you to do as you listen is, what word jumps out to you? What phrase is God using to tap at your heart? And what one little thing is God wanting you to focus on to be, not do? All right, here I am. I'm gonna read it. I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Heavenly Father, thank you as the good gardener for cultivating our souls. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to not only live, but to die, and then to live again, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over judgment. Thank you for the gift of belief and faith that we could put in Jesus that grafts us into the connection with Jesus, the vine. Now, God, help us in this place, those joining online, to be, not just do. to live in friendship with you, and that that friendship would fuel our lives. And we need that so much. We want that. Would you fill us with that kind of connection? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Lifehouse Church. We believe that through Christ, life change happens here. So we invite you to connect with us further by visiting lifehousechurch.org.